Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joe, would you like to start, or would you like me and Remy too?
You and Remy Cam.
Okay. All right, let's make sure it's recording. Oh, all right, buddy. Okay. I know. All right, well, this ain't gonna work.
Definitely more Remy than Adam right now.
Yeah. All right, hop down. Come here. All right, we'll talk in a little bit, okay, buddy? You go down.
My kids listen more than he does.
Oh, yeah, no, he doesn't listen that much. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 458 of the Professional Book Nerds podcast, presented by Overdrive. This is Adam, joined by Jill. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. My legs are very scratched up now. I might leave some of the beginning into this so people have reference. My dog just decided he would join the podcast for a little bit. Joined by Abby and Andrea, who have been on lots and lots of times, but I will let you both say hello really quickly. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hi, good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Two very tall ladies joining us today. I didn't realize until just now. As we've done over the past now 3 months.
Back to the beginning.
It literally was. It was you two were the first people that we did this with. We're going to go in a Zoom virtual roundtable and just talk about a bunch of books we've been reading. So, haven't done this in a couple weeks because the past few Thursdays, Jill and I either did best books of July or we also did our Pride Month one and some anti-racism books and stuff like that, which you can check out at professionalbooknerds.com. But yeah, we're just going to go around the virtual table here. We'll put all the books in the show notes. Jill, are there things that I'm missing? But I'm taking a glass of water.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at ProBookNerds, and you can visit our website, ProfessionalBookNerds.com, and you can email us, ProfessionalBookNerds at OverDrive.com.
Yes, you can.
How to do my job, I promise.
It's okay. Nailing it. And if you want yourself a Professional Book Nerds t-shirt or like a Libby hoodie or a Sora hoodie or a Libby tote bag, you can go to shop.overdrive.com. And everything that you buy there, all the profits will go to a library charity. So there's some really cool stuff. And if you do buy anything, tag us or Overdrive on social media because we love seeing it. Our shirts are great, but you really want a Libby hoodie. They're so comfortable.
They are.
Okay. Andrea, I'm going to have you start because yours was the screen I looked at. Whoa, deer in headlights. Look, he just gave me. Were you not prepared for the thing that we do every time when we have you on?
No.
No. Okay. You want
to? I'll just start with my current read.
That worked.
So in quarantine life, I think I mentioned this last time, or the first time, one of the times, I have found that rereading books and some of the series has been helpful and comforting and just nice. So I've binged a couple series, and my current series I'm re-binging is Stalking Jack the Ripper by Carrie Maniscalco.
Nailed it.
Did I say it right? Thank you.
You did.
I listened to them on audiobooks when they first came out. And then when they came out with the box set, I want to say it was my husband got me them for Christmas.
Nice.
So now I'm rereading / binging the physical. And for those who haven't heard it, the first one takes place in London, 1888, with Audrey Rose Wadsworth, and she gets involved in the case of Jack the Ripper. And she helps try to solve it. But it's all about how, like, she's this very, like, high-class, you know, woman in the 1880s, and she's not supposed to be interested in cutting up dead bodies and blood and gore, and she is. So she tries to solve the mystery. There's definitely romance, and then her trying to balance being a proper high-class woman who loves dead.
Sure.
So, highly recommend the whole series.
Yeah, and there's this
three? Adams. There's four.
Four, yeah.
And I know you've interviewed Carrie a couple times.
I have. She's fabulous. She's a wonderful person.
And she's working, she keeps teasing us about her new book, which sounds equally fabulous, but I don't have it pulled up on Goodreads to tell you about it. So, good job, me.
Is this your first time on the podcast, Andrea?
Like, it's been a day.
For the record, I want the listeners to know, I asked you today if you wanted to come on today, and you said yes.
And I had time to prepare, and then things happened, and my prepare time became fire putty outy time.
It's okay. Carrie Maniscalco's new book is called Kingdom of the Wicked, and it's going to be a new series. So this will be the first time that she does a new series outside of the Jack the Ripper books.
Two sisters, one brutal murder, one quest for vengeance that will unleash hell itself, and an intoxicating romance.
Exactly.
Nice. That sounds great.
It's almost like you read that from overdrive.com.
Almost.
No, Carrie's wonderful. You should read those books. My book is going to be kind of like that, but let's go to Abby first, who is muted at the moment, just as a reminder. There you go.
Yes, thank you. It was very good, too, because someone had the audacity to walk past the sidewalk, and Kobe took off and started barking, and I was very glad that I had muted myself. So, oof, dodged a bullet there.
Literally.
So one of my... Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So one of my recent reads was Happy and You Know It by Laura Hankin. And I really enjoyed it. The cover is super fun. It's got a bunch of like enamel pins all over the front. So it kind of was a la Leanne Moriarty, or I don't think I said her first name right, but it was just like a really happy cover that drew me in. And it was not a very happy book. It was set in modern day New York City about a struggling musician who got kicked out of her band right before they made it big on a song that she wrote. And she gets invited to sing for a play group of Upper East Side women. And she gets drawn into all of their drama and their tensions and their back and forth. And it ends up being really twisty and taking a dark turn. And I couldn't put it down. I read it in a day. I stole the hardcover from my mother-in-law, who had managed to get her hands on an advanced copy. And I was very excited about that because I had a very long wait for it at the library. But I was really excited. It was super good, and I gave it a 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Yo, you were like nodding. Have you read that?
That was on my list. That was one of the ones I was going to talk about too. Yeah, it was so.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I have other books. It was really fun, and I didn't. Yeah, because I kind of went in expecting it was going to be something like The Nanny Diaries, and it is, and then it takes a turn that I did not see coming, and yeah, and I had an advanced copy, and I gave it to my sister, who was very excited because she also had a long hold. She also had a long hold on it. So, yeah, it's a good one.
Do you want to talk about another book?
Love a good twist.
Me? I can. Yeah, I can talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
So my most recent read, and I actually just interviewed the author this morning, is Being Lolita by Allison Wood. This is a memoir. It comes out in August. And it is about, so when Allison was 17 and a senior in high school, she had an English teacher who basically like groomed her for being in a sexual relationship. And he used the book Lolita to kind of entice her, so to speak. Sort of misrepresenting what Lolita is about, and he kept calling her like his Lolita and all this stuff. And so her memoir is about their relationship, which continued through when she was in college, and then also like what happens after as she grew older, you know, in the up until like current times now where she is now with her life. But she also structured it like the book Lolita and how it's in sections, and she pulls a lot from the book, which is one of my favorites and is always a weird statement to say because Lolita, not really a great book in terms of story, but it's really well written and I love it. And I had a lot of fun talking to her. So, you know, it's one of those books where there's a lot of these stories coming out about older men preying on younger vulnerable girls. And we have the Me Too movement and all of this stuff. And her memoir, is a good, and a sort of another addition to all of the books that are happening about that.
My first one is called Burn by Patrick Ness, and I think I might have talked about it in a preview for one of the months that we did. Patrick Ness is just an incredible storyteller. He's gonna write books that are gonna make you sad sometimes, like his whole Knife of Never Letting Go series. He also wrote The Rest of Us Just Live Here, which I know Jill and I both adored, and he did A Monster Calls, which is amazing. But Burn is the story of this young girl named Sarah Dewhurst who lives with her father on the outskirts of like this little town in Washington State. And they own a farm, but they're really poor, and they're forced to hire a dragon to kind of burn down all of the surrounding wooded areas in the hopes that they can then use that land as their farm. And this is a world where dragons exist, but they are looked down upon, and they have this like weird relationship with human beings. And so this dragon, whose name is Casimir, comes and does the job that they're supposed to, but he's also like interacts with her in a way of like trying to explain what's going on in the world. And like, she's not supposed to be talking to him, but Casimir is very mysterious, but also like takes a liking to her, and she doesn't know why. And then there's this alternate story that's going on at the exact same time about this person who is trying to murder someone that you know nothing about, and it's a plot to try and save the world or end the world. You don't really know. It's just really, really interesting. And I won't give it away, but halfway through the book, the tone completely shifts, and it's just like, it's just an interesting, it's almost like Patrick Ness is so good at writing that it's like when a comedian talks himself into a corner about saying something offensive, and then it's like sees if they can work their way out. It's almost like he built up this entire world in the first half of the book and then just blows it up and is like, let's just see if I can just tell a different story and keep your interest. And he succeeds. So really, really interesting. It's definitely a much different take on a dragon book than I ever would have thought. So Burn by Patrick Ness. If you like anything else that Patrick Ness has done, I think you'll like this one as well. Andrea.
Muted. So you probably talked about this one already. I'm very behind on my podcast listening. But I just finished Me and White Supremacy.
I mean, we could definitely talk about it again.
Which was very poignant. Yes, and very eye-opening, and it was, I don't want to say a tough read, but like a kind of emotional self-reflection, because I went through and I did all the journaling and I wrote out the prompts, and it was very eye-opening and very just, I don't know. It was very powerful read.
Yeah, I reread it recently because she was on the podcast back in January, but yeah, it's supposed to be.
It is. It's just very like, I'm sorry. I just got back from the walk. But yeah, it's definitely, I would definitely recommend it, especially now, and especially free through Libby.
Mm-hmm.
And I do recommend following the prompts and doing the journaling and not just like being like, well, I read the chapter, so that's fine. That counts. Because there's in one of the chapters, she calls you out on it.
she absolutely does. She's like, hope you're not just like listening to this.
Yeah, she's like, if you're one of the people who read these prompts and hasn't actually like done the journal, you're part of the problem. And I was like, well, wait. I'm like, way to pull, not even pull punches.
Yeah.
So
Andrew was just joined by a child.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's so Me and White Supremacy is part of Overdrive's Black Lives Matter community read program. Go to blogs.overdrive.com. Jill has like a whole list of all the books and all the different weeks that they're going to be available. But Me and White Supremacy is available, I think, for the next 2 weeks still. Simultaneously,
I believe it's till July. You have to check it out by July 12th for the simultaneous use.
So week and a half. Okay, that's fine. Abby's gonna leave us for a moment. She's gonna go and do a call, which is okay. We can make do. Jill, do you want to do another book?
Sure. So also a advanced copy. So apologies for that one, but also comes out in August, though, I believe. So Lions of Fifth Avenue by Fiona Davis, who I love. Fiona's been on the podcast a couple of times. And so, you know, if you are familiar with her books, she will take an iconic New York landmark and tell two stories, one usually in... She'll take two stories, one in the past of some variety. She's covered, like, the 1920s, early 19th century, the 1950s, and then she'll tell another story that is later on, and they go back and forth in the point of view. So this one is all about the New York Public Library. Hello. And it covers it starts in 1913, a couple of years after the library actually opened. And I don't know how many people know this. I knew it before, but there was an apartment that people lived in the New York Public Library. It was usually, I think, like the facilities manager and his family would live in the library. And so it's...
Aw, jealous.
I know, right? How cool is that? So it starts in 1913 with the janitor's family living in this apartment public library, and they're working on a special exhibit of artifacts from the library. And it's just, I love Fiona's book. She always gives you some fun facts, because you know she does really detailed research on the books and or the landmarks. Plus it's the New York Public Library. Who doesn't love the New York Public Library?
Yeah, that's awesome. I did not know about the apartment part. That's super interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Man, I'm jealous. The one that I'm just about finished up right now with is The Angel of the Crows by Catherine Addison, which I think I also might have previewed, but now that I'm just about done with it, I can give you some more information on it. This is even more fun than I thought it was going to be. This is sort of related to what Andrea was talking about with Carrie Maniscalco's books. So it's a Jack the Ripper story, but it's also a Sherlock Holmes story. But Sherlock Holmes in this particular one, their name isn't Sherlock Holmes at all. Their name is Crow, and they're an angel. And the Watson of it is the person that we're kind of following, but it's not the Watson that you expect. And Catherine Addison does this really awesome thing with gender identity and just not being non-binary and all sorts of really, really interesting things. But this is a world where angels exist and hellhounds exist and demons and goblins and all this stuff. And they're tracking the different Jack the Ripper murders and trying to solve who Jack the Ripper is and save London. But also all of the different Sherlock Holmes stories, like the Hounds of Baskerville and all this stuff, is also melded in. So you have this main overarching murder going on that they're trying to solve for, but there's also all these smaller cases that are all these little like Easter eggs for fans of Sherlock Holmes. And it's really, really interesting. And again, at the same time, you're also dealing with all these magical elements that just, it's hard to imagine how Catherine Addison was able to fold all of these things in together, but it's super interesting. Catherine Addison, the other book that I read of theirs is The Goblin Emperor, which is like the best. If you're a fan of anything Holly Black has done, you should read The Goblin Emperor. And Holly Black actually on the podcast told me that. She was like, yeah, I know, if you like my books, thank you, but you should really be reading The Goblin Emperor instead, which is a pretty funny thing to hear from the author. But yeah, The Angel of the Crows is super cool. You don't really need to know all the Sherlock Holmes backstory to enjoy it, but there's just like little Easter eggs where you're like, oh, I get it. That's like Moriarty is in there randomly, but Moriarty is not a human. It's a completely different entity, which I don't want to give away. And it's just like one of those things where you meet this person, and if you're familiar with Sherlock Holmes, you're like, that sounds like Moriarty. And then like later on, they're like, what's your name? It's like, I'm Moriarty. And it's just like, it's very fun. So that's good stuff. Abby, it looks like you're back now, I think.
I am. Sorry about that.
No, you're okay. Do you want to do another book?
Yeah, absolutely. I will just say I feel a little left out. I didn't know we were going to be all be talking about Jack the Ripper series. I would have read one since we've been gone. But I'll give it a little throwback here and say that one of my favorite trilogies when I was a teenager, so like a YA, is The Tea Rose by Jennifer Donnelly. And it is set in Jack the Ripper era London in Whitechapel. And she is just the daughter of Irish immigrants, and they are dock workers, and they're just like scrabbling hard to make a living. And her father joins the unions, and this is at the time that the unions are starting to get above ground and like starting to work. And then her father is killed by the head of the company because he was the organizer of the unions. And the daughter finds out that her name is Fiona. So Fiona finds out that her father was murdered, and she has to run away and start a whole new life in America. And there's also obviously a heartthrob who has done her dirty, and that's part of the reason that she flees to America. And she is just focusing on her life and how she's pulling herself up from the bootstraps, and how her lover is doing the same thing, but they don't talk anymore. There's a lot of miscommunications between them and missed opportunities. And it's just I probably have reread that series about 5 times, and it's really wonderful. And I think it's what started my love for British literature.
Very heavy. We're officially just a Jack the Ripper podcast today. Oh, that's funny.
Any worse things?
Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure. Okay, Andrew, how are you doing over there? You got children. You've got your husband, former guest.
We couldn't find a bottle, so somewhere in the house was a bottle of milk.
Ah.
And gotcha. It was one of those, you know, it's milk, so we're like, we need to find this before the smell finds us. And he's like, it's got to be in here. I'm like, it's not that big of a room. It's not in here.
Oh, that's so funny.
But he found it, so we're okay.
Okay, great. There's been a lot of... Abby was on a call. My dogs lost their minds. Back to... Literally, this is like just like the first time we ever did this.
Podcasting in quarantine.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Andrew, you want to do another one?
I will. So I recently... I picked this up again. Again, this was another reread. And I read it again because we just watched Birds of Prey, or The Emancipation of One Fantabulous Harley Quinn, which I highly recommend. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is, Harley Quinn's in it, but it's not necessarily about her. Catwoman Soul Stealer by Sarah J. Maas, which is part of the DC Icons. So it tells the story of Selina Kyle. Selina Kyle escapes the slums of Gotham and comes back 2 years later, and she is just this badass woman who's just, I mean, you know Catwoman. Like, she's very, you know, agile, and she's, you know, very skilled in fighting and weaponry. And it's about how she's come back to take revenge. And the thing I like about this is they mention Batman, but Batman is out of town. So he's not like a part of it, so it's not like, yeah, it's a Batwoman story and Catwoman's just kind of there, like, you know. And it, the other narrator is Luke Fox, who has to prove that he has what it takes to take on his role of Batwing, which I guess is part of the comics, but I am not too well versed in Batman to know of Batwing. Luke takes it upon himself to do Batman's duties while Batman is out of town. And one of his duties is taking down Catwoman. And in her quest for revenge, she also teams up with Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. So it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like your Sherlock book where there's a lot of like things thrown in where like you wouldn't know it unless you know like what she's referring to. So there's little like odds and ends. Otherwise you're just like, oh, that was fun. But it's a lot of fun. A lot of like girl powery kind of.
I like the mental gymnastics that they have to do. It's the same thing with like with all the Marvel movies when like, then they even call it out in like one of the Ant-Man movies. Paul Rudd's character Ant-Man says something like he's going through something, and I remember him specifically being like, "This sounds like a thing the Avengers should do. Like, why am I doing this?" They like have to like jump, or like Captain Marvel, who's like basically the strongest of the Avengers, like to make it so that every movie isn't just 20 minutes long. She's like, "There's a lot of other places in the galaxy I have to be." They have to like do that whole like, "Here's why I'm not here. So please,"
right. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have you guys, so I couldn't be here.
That's
you
right.
Guys got right. Covered. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Jill, you want to do another one?
Sure. So one that I just started, I think yesterday, is Once Ghosted, Twice Shy by Alyssa Cole. It's actually a novella, so it's a quick short read if you're looking for something. And it's part of her Reluctant Royals series. So Alyssa writes romance. And this one is about Ligotsky. She, I don't know if I pronounced it right, Ligotsky. She works for a prince, naturally. And she, while he was sort of wooing the woman he would marry, she had her own sort of love affair while they were in New York City with a woman, Fab, who lives in New York. And then it ended, as things do, unfortunately. And now she's back in New York, and the two women meet on a subway train months later, having like not spoken to each other in a long time. And it's a romance, so naturally they, you know, start getting back together. But it's really cute. I love Alyssa's books. They're just fun, cute, you know, romances. She writes really well. Her characters are delightful. And so, yeah, if you're looking for a quick, short, cute, romantic, fun book like that, Once Ghosted, Twice Shy.
Nice. Abby, you want to do another one?
I'm gonna have that song stuck in my head.
I do. So one that I just read in the past 2 weeks was The Girl with the Louding Voice by Abby Dari. And it's set in modern day Nigeria. And it is about a teenage girl who all she wants to do is get an education so that she can be a teacher, because her mom told her before she died that that getting an education is the only way that you can have a voice. And she says, "I don't want to have a voice. I want to have a Louding voice. I want to get to the top of the education, and I want to help other people, other girls, get their education." But when her mother dies, her father falls behind on the rent payment, and he can't pay anything. And so he marries her off to be the third wife of someone from a neighboring village. And she runs away from her husband and ends up being a servant in a big city in Nigeria for a very cruel couple. And she is their house girl, and she finds out about a scholarship that she can apply to, where she'll go to one of the best girl schools in Nigeria for free. And so the story is about her trying to work and achieve this, get this scholarship so that she can leave this life behind and get her Louding voice. And it was just really moving and incredible. And I would highly recommend it. Again, The Girl with the Louding Voice by Abby Dari. One of my resolutions this year was to read more nonfiction. But then as incidents from these past couple weeks have proceeded, I've edited my resolution to also try and read and promote more brown voices, authors, brown and black authors, to try and promote them as well. And this book was really incredible, and I highly recommend it. And it just shines a light on this whole other aspect of the world that we don't really see as much here in America.
Yeah. To that end, I finished The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, yeah. Which also is part of our Black Lives Matter community read program. I won't talk too much about it, just in case we might be doing something with her later on in the year, which will be a Jill conversation, because Jill is much more informed about the prison system than I am. And as much as I love talking, and I know I do it too much, I also know when to shut up. And that will be one of those conversations, but it shouldn't be me. So, yeah, I agree with you, Abby. I've been trying to do the same thing. And I'm actually really proud with over the next couple of months, we have a bunch of authors coming on. And like, I feel like we've really tried to make sure that we're highlighting not just BIPOC authors, but a bunch of actually like debuts and stuff too. So I'm excited for you guys to hear about them. My next book I want to just briefly highlight is very weird and darker than I thought it was going to be. It's called A Children's Bible by Lydia Millet or Millay.
Abby looks excited.
It's something, I'll tell you. So there's these parents that went, basically you learn that the world might be ending and you learn that pretty early, but not like, did any of you guys see the most recent, or maybe it was last year's American Horror Story, where like there was a atomic bomb or something and it like caused
apocalypse.
That
was two seasons ago.
Okay, well, time flies when you watch terrible TV, I guess. Okay, sassy, go back on mute. This is kind of like that in the sense of, like, the world seems to be ending and like people have bunkers and all this stuff, but before that all happens, this group of parents go to this vacation home for like a month and they take all their kids, and the parents are just like getting hammered and doing drugs and like having sex, and it's basically ignoring the children entirely. And the children start playing this game where like they don't want anyone to know whose parents are theirs, and so like they are just trying to stay as disconnected and disassociated from the parents as possible. And they eventually go on this trip, like they kind of go camping away from their parents, and this destructive storm happens, and then it very much turns into like almost like the end of the Bible. Like, it's very apocalyptic, and that's why it's called A Children's Bible. And one of the youngest kids there finds this like picture Bible thing and is like, this is kind of like what's happening right now, and you're not really sure if it's a religious thing or what's going on, but it feels very much like the Book of Revelations. And it's dark, I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't expecting, as a person who tries to not read super dark fiction when I'm down, I was
a little apocalyptic.
And like, and let me tell you, the cover, which is very cool, is also deceiving. Like, it looks like it's almost like Fern Gully or Bambi, which again, I guess I should have realized those are also very dark. It's really good. And if you are a fan, I've mentioned a few times in the podcast, like, I like books that are somewhat Bible related, even though I'm not very religious. And this is just, it's interesting. I will just say that it's very much, it's a unique story. It's like, kind of like Lord of the Flies, but different. So that's A Children's Bible by Lydia Millay is how I'm going to say her name. Do you guys have another one you want to do, Andrea? Me, Jill, me either.
Sure.
You can also say no. Yeah. Okay.
I could talk. I'll talk about the Remnant Chronicles by Mary E. Pearson. So the first book is called The Kiss of Deception, and it starts with the running away from an arranged marriage of a man that she's never even met. And her whole thought is, why would I marry someone who I've never even met, let alone had to have his mommy and daddy find him a wife? Which is true. So she runs away with her best friend, who is also, like, I guess, her maid. And after they run to this town, two mysterious men show up, one of whom is the prince she jilted, and the other of whom is an assassin who was sent to kill her. And you don't know who's who as the reader. And obviously she has no idea one of them is the prince and one of them is an assassin. Because so the chapters are all titled The Prince and the Assassin, but then they gave her fake names, obviously. So as you're reading from her point of view, you don't know who she's actually talking to, and you don't find out till like midway, not even midway, like probably like three quarters of the book, you find out who's who. And I had no idea, and I guessed wrong. So that was actually pretty exciting.
Isn't that always nice when that happens, when you're like, I know it's happening, and then you're
I'm like, oh, this one is so obviously the prince.
Yeah.
And but then I think one of my other friends read it, and she's like, no, I knew who it was. So it was definitely like those things where like she didn't like purposely mislead you. You just kind of like took the clues as however you took the clues. And then the two other books are all about how, like, she's trying to free the people, and, like, it turns into, like, her running away from marriage to, like, this, like, revolution-y type kingdoms, and there's an evil kingdom, and but it's very good.
Interesting. That does sound really good. Mm-hmm. Abby, did you have another one? You seem like you did.
Oh. Yeah, I do. I actually just finished listening to it yesterday. I really enjoyed it. So it was The Henna Artist by Alka Joshi. And I do apologize if I butchered that name. That was me doing my best. And it was set in India in the 1950s. And I am super embarrassed to admit that I had no idea how recent it was that India had gained its independence from Britain. So that was really good to learn. Thank you, world history class, for nothing. So that was really good to learn. I didn't realize that that it's been less than 100 years since India was independent. So that was first good thing to learn about this book. And so it's set in India in the 1950s. And it's about a woman who ran away from her abusive husband. And she went to a city and became a henna artist. And it took 13 years, but she finally worked her way up to be the henna artist for all of the most respected ladies in the city of Jaipur. And she worked with royalty and people who are related to royalty. And this total wrench is thrown into her life. She is this close to achieving everything she had ever dreamed when her sister that she didn't know existed, who in her village is known as the bad luck girl, shows up in the city with the husband that she ran away from. And so her life is so close to becoming perfect. And then the bad luck girl shows up with her abusive ex-husband. And from then on, like, nothing in her life goes the way that she planned. And it's just a really cool look into a society that I didn't have a lot of experience with. So it was, I had a road trip that I had to take over the weekend to visit some family. And so I was driving 8 hours by myself, and people kept calling and saying, oh, like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm great. I'm in India. Like, this is wonderful. Like, it was really just in depth and rich in details. And I could really just picture it and feel like I was there. It was so immersive. And I just thought it was a really wonderful book, and I would highly, highly recommend it.
That's super interesting. Unrelated to that, but related to you talking about the independence of India from Britain. Do you guys remember the Animaniacs country song that from when we were kids? It's
when you were a kid.
When I, yes, Abby, when I was a kid, when Jill and I were kids.
Is this about the TikTok?
I remember the Animaniacs when I was little.
Yeah. So for those who may not remember what I'm talking about, the Animaniacs was a popular show when some of us were children and when some of us weren't born yet. Abby's like 14. It's the song. It's like United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, blah blah, and it's Yakko.
Oh Canada. Yeah, that's
awesome. He does all of the countries. There is, and Joe knows what I'm talking about. There's a TikTok that is making the rounds where it's one of those things where, like, they draw the line in the middle of the TikTok and, like, they jump left or right if they understand things. And it's on the left is countries that the United Kingdom or Britain hasn't invaded, and it's just like the person. As they go through the song, like, the person's jumping back and forth depending on whether or not they've been invaded. And it's like, basically, it's like they've invaded like 98% of
them. I mean, there's like three countries that they have not invaded.
It's amazing. It's like and someone was like, so we're just going to go ahead and replace all of all history teachers with TikTok users from now on. Jill, you said you were all out of books.
I'm all out of books.
Okay, yeah. The other one I was going to mention, I just double checked. It's an advanced reader copy as well. It doesn't come out until October. So I think I can wait on talking about that one. But it's by Alex E. Harrow, who did the 10,000 Doors of January. And just their new book is really, really fantastic. But we'll talk about it in a few months. Okay. All right. Thank you, Andrea, Abby, for joining us today. Like I said, all those books are in the show notes. Jill, is there anything that we didn't talk about that should be talked about?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Okay. All right. Well, my dog is getting super restless, so I'm probably going to go take him outside or something. But thank you, guys. I hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.